Tappers, what is up? How's going? Tuesday edition of the Daily Tap. It is November 20th. Hope you guys are all living well. Hopefully you were all able to watch the Rams Chiefs on Monday night. Holy shit. What a game. I mean, just absolutely incredible. It was everything you can ask for and more. There were defensive touchdowns. There was all sorts of offense. There was Pat Mahomes looking like Brett Favre reincarnated. You had Jared Goff putting his game at another level. You know, the kids like to say that guys are in their bag. There was a lot of guys in their bag tonight in LA. I mean, holy shit. What a fucking football game. And it is, yeah, it's the best thing I've ever watched. Like, I wouldn't go that far, but like, from just a regular season game where I had nothing on the line, no, like, the Rams, Chiefs losing, nothing really affects the Packers, that was the best football game I've ever watched. I was so intrigued by it. Someone brought up Michigan Northwestern from 2000. Anthony Thomas was on that team. That, to me, I think it was Roger Sherman of the Ringer. That was very similar to this, where you just were transfixed because it wasn't like, yeah, sure, the defense made some, you know, obviously gave up a lot of points, but if you take back the defensive touchdowns, what, you had two defensive touchdowns for the Rams, right? So you had two defensive touchdowns for the Rams, so they had 54, so they finish with, do the math here, 40 points, and the Chiefs had one defensive touchdown. So actually, if they, you know, the Chiefs would have won the game 47-40, but still, or 44-40, excuse me. I can do math, I promise. I'm doing this without a numbers in front of me. I am not a math major. But still, like, so the whole idea of, wow, there's a lot of points, and yeah, it still would have 84 points, and sure, that's a lot. And it's going to ruffle some feathers, but this is the new era of NFL. All of a sudden, the NFL has caught sort of the NBA bug where they have infected themselves with sort of the new way to do things. And NBA was all about spacing and threes, and it just launched a scoring revolution and made the game immensely popular. Same thing's happening in football. Yes, there are the idea of defenses and things like that. Like, I don't know. I mean, the Bears just kicked ass on defense on Sunday Night Football. Like, you got really both sides of it. If you're a big fan of defense, you could watch the Bears-Vikings game. That was chocked full of defense, even though the game went over, but not to like the very end. It was a 25-20 game. It was everything you wanted. And you're going to get some good defensive football this weekend when you or on Thanksgiving, and I'm sure with Packers-Vikings a little bit. So hopefully there's not a lot of bitching today. Hopefully there's not a ton of people just complaining about how much offense there is. Because if that is the case, you're a killjoy. You don't understand how to have fun. If you miss the NFL the way it was or whatever it was, I don't. I love that. I love college football. This is the college footballization of the NFL. It's good shit, man. I soak it in. Enjoy it. And honestly, I was hoping I wouldn't talk about this for 5 minutes. I've accomplished that because we have a loaded Daily Tap today. I don't know if we'll make the 20-minute mark. You never know. I say that always, and then I end up hitting it. But no, we have the Packers. We're going to talk some Packers. I had some interesting thoughts on some local media members. So yes, we're taking out the flamethrowers. I like to be the baron of the Milwaukee media and like to obviously hold people accountable. So we have a couple things to go over there. And then I'm going to talk about the Bucks. Mention tonight's Nuggets game. Maybe a quick mention of the Wizards needing to blow it up. So speaking of blowing it up, some people might want the Packers to do that. Brian Gutekunst got criticized today. He had the first sort of real shrapnel from somebody. It was from Bob McGinn of Bob McGinn Football, who wrote that Brian Gutekunst deserves some of this blame. I saw it. I don't really follow Bob anymore because he's a crotchety old man, and I really think he has an axe to grind with the Packers taking away a press pass from him and a lot of other dramatic things behind the scenes. So then I saw Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV quote tweet him and agree with him that basically Gutekunst deserves some of this blame. I love Nagler. I think Nagler is one of the best people to analyze football, and it's okay to disagree with someone you respect and like. I truly do. I think that is a bad take. I do not think this is Brian Gutekunst's team. I think Brian Gutekunst has a vision of what the Packers are going to look like. And guess what? I actually think it's a lot like the Rams or Chiefs or maybe the Saints, but it's going to take 3 or 4 years to do. They are going to have to rebuild a little bit. Unfortunately, nobody, he's a smart guy, man. He is not a dumbass at all. And like, I think the idea that you should be blaming Goody because he's dealing with all Ted Thompson's guys and Ted Thompson's draft picks have not been good and not panned out over the last 3 or 4 years, it's not his fault. And the only real free agent they signed, Martellus Bennett, was an absolute clusterfuck. And that didn't work out either. So, you know, Gutekunst had a bare cupboard. And I think we all as Packer fans, including myself, did not realize how bare it was to start the season. So to say, yeah, this Packer team should have been a Super Bowl team, it's kind of short-sighted. Because you look at this roster, and knowing what you know now, you'd be like, well, they probably are going to be lucky to squeeze in the playoffs. And they're head and shoulders below the Rams and the Saints. I think they're on par with every other team in the NFC wildcard and division race that's not the NFC South and NFC West. Like I think the Packers compete with any of those guys, but I don't think they are at the top level. They are in the middle tier, and I don't think a lot of people knew that, including the media, including Brian Gutekunst. I think there was a lot of that. And so this year to me for Brian Gutekunst was one big assessment. I feel like this is his year to assess everything they have. And then after that, he can go buck wild. He can make free agent signings. He can make the draft picks that make the most sense. He's going to have 2 picks next year. I don't think that was kind of, you know, not a, you know, they could make a move to trade up for a defensive rusher in a draft loaded with pass rushers. So to blame Brian Gutekunst for this team is fucking ridiculous. This wasn't his vision. His vision's going to be next year. His vision's going to be the year after that. He's going to get a head coach in here that is going to work with Aaron Rodgers, because I think part of Gutekunst's vision, I think, involved McCarthy. I really do think that they believe that McCarthy could be here long term, and now the rubber has met the road and Rodgers and McCarthy aren't working together. So you got to figure it out. And the other thing too, like, Gutekunst did things to make this roster better. It just didn't work out. Mo Wilkerson gets hurt in the third week of the season. What does this Packers defensive line, which has been beastie, mind you, look with an added addition of Wilkerson all year? It would have been even better. And honestly, if Mike Daniels would have went down with a foot injury, you had Wilkerson right there. But unfortunately, both are down. Jimmy Graham broke his thumb. He's going to try to play, which is fucking stupid. But that's Jimmy Graham. I mean, it hasn't worked out. And I think part of the reason Jimmy Graham hasn't worked out, and I'm sure it's driving Gutekunst crazy, is McCarthy's system. It all goes back to McCarthy, right? You can't blame Gutekunst for Jimmy Graham being a bust. That's not true. It's the system they're running that is making Jimmy Graham a bust. Why the hell can Sean McVay get the most out of Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee? And Travis Kelce has become one of the best tight ends in the league. I think Travis Kelce would be the best tight end in any league, but you can't, or in any team, but you can't tell me that Andy Reid's scheme doesn't help him flourish. Zach Ertz, too. It's same system. Why the hell is Jimmy Graham? I think it's Mike McCarthy has a bad system for tight ends. And I'm sure Gutekunst, before he signed him, was like, hey, we want Jimmy Graham. What do you think? Can you make him work in your offense? Oh, yeah, we can make him work. JK, psych. It's not the case. It's just not true. So I feel like anyone who's pressuring Brian Gutekunst has a very short trigger, and that they need to at least give him 3 years before we're truly assessing what's going on. And the other thing, too, that's weird about why McGinn and Nagler would bring up Gutekunst is the guy had a kick-ass draft. Like, look at how many guys have been balling out for the Packers this year from this year's draft. Like, I mean, Jair Alexander is a top corner and maybe making, probably heard him last week, but if If he has a big game against Adam Thielen, who's one of the best receivers in the league, kind of faded the last couple weeks, but if he still steps up in the slot against Thielen or takes on Stephon Diggs and dominates him, maybe picks off Kirk Cousins, the guy's going to be in the running for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So how the fuck can you say, like, this is Gutekunst's fault? If anything, Gutekunst added to this team with a really good draft. Who knows where they might have been with Ted Thompson? Like, let's be real here. Let's also, speaking of letting be real, let's also be real. The Packers aren't done. Like, there are people that are ready to bury the Packers, that are throwing dirt on the Packers already, reading their funeral rites. And I understand that as a sports radio host, you have things where you want to get reaction. And you know that asking if a team is done will draw reactions. No question about it. That said, I think it's a bit lazy. I just don't think it's one of those things where you really have to look at it from a 1,000-mile view, not just in the present day. Even if they lose to Minnesota, they do have a tough game against Minnesota, but even if they lose, they could still easily go 9-6. They play the easiest schedule in football. I'll say that again. The easiest schedule in football. They play the Cardinals and Falcons the next 2 weeks. You'll be back to 6-6 before you know it. The Falcons are, their funeral is Thursday. This is not what the Packers are going into. It's not like the Packers are 4-6 heading to Minnesota like the Falcons are with New Orleans. The Falcons are dead. Like, they are dead. 13 points, a little too high, but they're dead. They are dead, okay? Not the Packers. So even if you lose to Minnesota this week, which could happen, I actually don't think it will, but you still could go back to 6-6, and then you have a big game with the Bears. Do you have to win that game? Is that a must win? Well, yeah, you got to win that because you're probably not getting in on an 8-7 clip. You're just not. So you have to beat the Bears. That is the consequence if you do lose to the Vikings this week. But they're not done. It's not over. This whole wild card race is wacky in itself. Seattle has tough games left. Minnesota has tough games left. Carolina plays the Saints twice. Now, Saints might be letting off the gas, but if the Rams keep winning football games, the Saints are going to have to play out their season. They're not going to be able to rest their starters. So you have that. You have a Seahawks team that plays the Chiefs. They play the Vikings. They have, two against San Francisco. They have a hard one against Carolina this week. Like, nobody is safe. Cowboys, yeah, but they could win the division. And then the Redskins have Colt McCoy, who's 9-18 as a starter for Washington. So I just don't know what we're doing here. I don't know why this is a thing. Like, yeah, there are issues. We talked about it yesterday. We talked about how Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers really need to work out their shit. No doubt about it. You can go back and listen. But anything can change, man. The NFL is such a week-to-week league. I know that is the cliche of cliches, but it is. It is a week-to-week league. If the Packers win tomorrow, or they win tomorrow, I wish it was tomorrow. If they win on Sunday and they're 5-5-1 heading into December with two winnable games up, every single fucking Packer fan is going to be feeling good, no matter how they win it. If they win it 9-6, if they win it 52-49, they are going to be feeling great about the Packers' chances because all of a sudden the tunnel opens up a little bit and it's going to keep getting bigger. And you kind of then get the snow tap house money against the Bears where, yeah, you'd love to win, but if you lose that game, it might not be that bad. It still could be okay. So, and then you get the Jets and Lions. Like, there's an easy path. I don't understand why anyone would think that the Green Bay Packers are quote-unquote done. They are not. Get out of here with that. All right, wrapping up the show with Bucks Nuggets. So the Milwaukee Bucks won again, second straight victory. They take care of the Nuggets. They win, cover the spread too, 104-98. Low-scoring affair. The Nuggets now have lost six of their last seven. Giannis and Bledsoe were great tonight. I really thought we got a great Giannis game. So many big dunks from him. Denver had just no answer for Giannis again, and he was just overpowering them, especially in that third quarter when him and Bledsoe made a big difference. Eric Bledsoe, I'm not ready to like do the full I'm sorry. I'm not ready to go full Calhoun with Eric Bledsoe, but it's clear that, and Mitch had this at the beginning of the year, and I'll keep referencing and giving him credit for it, is he said on Tapping the Keg, he said, look, Bledsoe has never had proper coaching. Go through his list of coaches. They are all bad. They are all bad coaches. So now Bledsoe finally gets his first real coach. Let's see how he does. And guess what? Eric Bledsoe's responding. He's becoming a tough-as-nails defender. He's holding down point guards each and every game. He'll get another crack at Dame Lillard Wednesday night. And he's also doing big things scoring-wise. He's had a couple clutch shots. He had 19 points tonight. He had a big couple threes. Like, Bledsoe is a good player, and he's playing the best version of himself. We have not seen this Eric Bledsoe since he's been in Milwaukee. This is the best Eric Bledsoe's looked. He's thriving, and it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice how you can see, you know, obviously you need Giannis playing at a high level all the time, but if Middleton's dipping and Bledsoe's rising and Bledsoe becomes more of the second banana than Middleton, that's okay. Yeah, Chris Middleton's been ice cold for a little bit, and he hasn't really had a big game in the last few weeks, and he needs to get hot again. But still, you have Eric Bledsoe picking up the slack. You have other guys on the team who can make up for Middleton's, I wouldn't say his bad shooting. He's scuffling just a little bit. So, I really good win for the Bucks. I will say, to be negative, they can't keep getting down early. They can't keep doing this shit. Like, it's almost like they're toying with these teams, and they're like, all right, we want a challenge. So we're going to be down 17. We're going to try to come back. So they've came back from being down 22 and 17 the last two games. That's a bit concerning. You need to find some energy. They need to do some different things. I wonder if Budenholzer shakes up the starting lineup. I wonder if he shakes up how his bench mob works. I think something's going to need to happen, because these slow starts are bad for the Bucks, and they are just getting killed in the first half of games. And free throws were really bad today. You can't be that bad from the free throw line and think of yourself as an NBA Finals contender. I know that sounds very Wally Walker-ish of me, but it's true, because you just can't miss that many free opportunities. Bucks were very lucky. Denver didn't take full advantage. Denver had their own issues, slew of turnovers. Also, are we cool with Giannis taking six threes? I think I kind of am. Like, at first I was like, Jesus Christ, Giannis, like, just stop. But at the same time, it's going to start falling for him, and he needs to keep shooting. He needs to keep, and they're long rebounds. Giannis can definitely go get his own board. Like, I think you just got to keep shooting. Shoot or shoot, man, as they say. So, I'm okay with it. I'm all right with it. So, they got Portland tomorrow night. It should be a good matchup there. You also have the Wizards rumors. I'm going to be writing about this on Stone Tap WI as well. So, Bucks fans, obviously, were just going crazy on the trade machine today. It was, you know, it's kind of like you're toggling between the playoff machine and the trade machine all day long for Wisconsin sports fans. But I don't know if there's really a guy that I would want on the Bucks who plays for the Wizards. Kelly Oubre is interesting. He's a young guy. He's on a easy team-friendly deal. He, to me, feels like someone who could really – he's also a team-length guy. Big, lanky dude. I really think there could be something to like about Kelly Oubre, especially off the bench. Adds another scorer. I hate to say this, but I think Markieff Morris could actually be beneficial for this team, but guy's just a shithead. I don't know if I could really cheer for a Morris twin. Like, it would be tough. It would definitely be a lot there. Obviously, we know that Markieff and Marcus both have issues with Giannis Antetokounmpo, so who knows? Probably that wouldn't be a thing. I'm sure they have to run by Giannis first. And even if they didn't and they traded for him, you know, you'd get these silly Instagram like, oh yeah, he's always been my friend, yada yada, because that's how the world works today. Bradley Beal is the kind of the prize cow. So is John Wall. I would go with Bradley Beal 1,000 times out of 1,000. Couple things. John Wall's a little unhinged. That's number one. Number two, John Wall hasn't really done a great job in managing his weight. He gets a little pudgy at times. And these are tertiary before he gets to the big ones. Number three, he wants to be the fucking man. And unfortunately, any guy that comes to Milwaukee, whether they are through trade or free agency, has to understand that they are going to be the second banana. Brad Beal already is the second banana with the Wizards. I don't imagine Bradley Beal would be a star on a team. Like, I can't picture it. It's just like, can you really picture CJ McCollum being a star for a team? I think it's weird. I could probably see CJ more than Bradley Beal. I don't know why. But I just couldn't see him being the man. So the fact that he's already played second banana John Wall fits perfectly with Giannis. Also, his ability to shoot threes is great. Definitely is another part of this whole aspect. I doubt that the Bucks make any sort of Wizards moves, but who knows? You never know. The NBA is crazy. There's definitely going to be a lot of Wizards deals and a lot of rumors that will permeate through the next couple months. All right, guys, that just about does it for our show tonight. We will be back tomorrow, another Daily Tap. We'll kind of dig into the Packers-Vikings. I was going to do that today, just didn't happen. Take care of yourselves. Have a good Tuesday. Remember, it's like Friday Junior. Short week. Gotta love it. Take care. Bye.